Yo, another episode of Fights with Friends, dude.
Another episode of Fights with Friends, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good.
How's your week been?
Week's been good, dude. It's been busy. I mean, all the work on these episodes, it's a lot of work. Research on the guests and getting all the assets to send to the guys over at Press Record, all the B-roll, all that kind of stuff.
Plus, how class is going?
Plus, I got to teach every day. Okay. Yeah. I coordinated a stunt coordinated a NYU thesis film, so there was some work to do on that, and I'm taking a class online, so.
You're a busy man.
I'm juggling.
Nice.
Juggling, sending out resumes, doing the hustle, you know.
It's good to be busy.
Yeah. What about you, man?
Same old stuff. Started a new job. I told you about that when we were talking with Todd.
Yep.
What's it called?
I don't know.
Availability check, right? I got an availability check, but again, I can't say anything about it. But yeah, which is cool.
Yep, yep.
So I'm excited about that. Hopefully it comes through.
Cool.
Outside of that, you know, wife and the baby are a little sick.
Yeah.
Baby's got an ear infection. Wife's got strep.
Dude, kids are the petri dish.
Oh, I love you so much. Stay away from me.
Yeah. Just stay away from me. I don't want strep, dude.
Like, I don't want it either. But I'm like, I want to hug my daughter, but don't get me sick.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yo. Today's episode, epic topic.
I was going to say it's now multi-generational. Like Karate Kid was something that was from our generation, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to stick with the originals.
Yeah.
And now there's this new generation that gets, yep. that gets Cobra Kai. And, which leads us into our guest this episode.
Yeah, dude. And Cobra Kai is so awesome. They did such a great, it's not even a reboot, right? It's just a continuation.
But it's also, it started off on YouTube Red,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And it was basically, I'm just like, I guess the short of it was a fanboy version of Johnny's side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like the greatest story that you always heard was Daniel was the real bully, and he was exactly, and Johnny was wrong, Daniel cheated, and all of these things, and then this he's like, I'm going to make a series on it, and he got everybody in for it,
yeah,
and they made it, and then Netflix bought it, and now
they didn't do a complete flip flop, the bad guy's now the good guy's now they kind of showed the faults of both characters.
Mm-hmm.
Which was awesome.
Yes.
And it was a very plausible, like, sort of continuation, like, 20 years later.
Yeah.
You know? It was pretty cool. And it's, like, look, here. This is we have Kreese's signature here. And, like, anybody in martial arts of our age has some connection to Karate Kid. Right? This picture, by the way, was given to me by my student, Mike Stetz. Who is now production on the PFL. So if you guys are watching PFL, you might have seen him. But he does interviews and cuts a lot of the video together. But, you know, I mean, it's just a part of, like, the martial art sort of zeitgeist. Like, it's just part of the community. Everybody knows about it, mm-hmm. right? So I was, like, definitely a little jelly when Cal got to go work on the show.
Yeah, I mean, especially doubling...
Yeah.
Chosen. I mean, that's just so awesome. What a great fight. And again, I told you, I remember sitting in the movie theater watching that movie with my mom and my stepdad.
The original?
No, the second one. The second one.
No, I mean the movie. Yeah, because not with Cal. He would have been like a
fetus. Well, no. But I mean, I just mean just how iconic of a character yeah. Chosen is for me.
Yeah.
And for Cal to double him was just, for me,
yeah.
I would have been fucking freaking out in my skin.
Yeah, it's totally cool. It's such a cool gig to get and such a cool IP to work on, man.
And he did a phenomenal job.
Oh, totally.
The scene was great. His falls were awesome.
Yeah, for the listeners and viewers, check the show notes. We have the fight linked. It's called Miyagi-Do, the episode, and it's season 3. Such a great fight when Chosen comes back to teach Daniel LaRusso.
The things he apparently didn't learn from Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The true deeper level of Miyagi-Do. So cool, man. So cool. So without further ado, we're going to tell you who made the show possible besides Cal, because we couldn't do the show if he wouldn't come on, of course. But we have some amazing sponsors that are supporting this show and making it possible to, you know.
We do. We have Metro Camera Cars, our run by our friend Joe Burris.
Yep.
We also have Stunt Contact.
Yeah. Stunt Contact's awesome. Metro Camera Cars, awesome. They're both great. Anybody in this business should know about them. If you need to record a car, drive a car with a camera in it, drive a car that's in a process trailer, you know, record inside a moving car, anything having to do with cars, Joe and Metro Camera Cars are the place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Stunt Contact, if you need to know what's going on, what's in development, what's in pre-production, what's in production, what's in post-production, who are the people behind all this, Stunt Contact is where you go.
Absolutely. And then we also have Fight or Flight Entertainment. If you like to, I mean, fight and fly. I always like it. The other night, I was like, Fight or Flight Entertainment. It's the only one that I was like, oh, I was like, you could actually say it in sound effects. You could be like, wa-cha-cha-cha-cha, and
well, it has everything. We like to fight. We like to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Fight or Flight, Brett Copes. That is an entertainment rigging company for those who need to know. But Brett is awesome. We've trained with Brett. We've hosted him here at our space. And, you know, he does amazing national workshops. Like, if you want to learn, get a primer on entertainer flying, Brett is the guy to talk to, man.
And then also we have Tactical Black.
Yep.
So if you want to learn how to be safe holding firearms, look cool holding firearms, take away firearms, tactical entry, everything from soup to nuts, taking apart a weapon, looking cool holding one especially.
Yeah.
Tactical Black is the place to go.
And doing it safely and properly.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, we have our Patreon. We have our Patreon and we love our Patreon subscribers.
We do. And anybody who would like to become a new Patreon subscriber, please.
Yes.
Do so.
Yeah. The link will be in the show notes, but if you are there's several tiers. You can do it for as little as you want or as little as $5. To get some perks, and one of the perks is early access to the episodes. Yeah, so the Patreon members are going to get basically 5 days in advance. Some of the levels you'll get mentions on our show.
Yeah.
And some of the levels you'll be able to submit video of yourself talking about your favorite fight. So there's a lot of cool stuff. And when we do our first live show or live event, all the Patreon members will get free tickets. So we definitely would love to have you supporting us, because even with our amazing sponsors, that hasn't paid for everything. So all this comes out of our pocket. And so you can be part of this, you know. Oh, and then we're having the pins made.
Yes, we are. We are also going to have enamel pins made, Fight for Friends pins. And then all of our, is it all the Patreons?
$20.
$20 and more of Patreon members will get a limited edition enamel pin.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely check out our Patreon. There's also a member-only chat, so we can all chat together. Members only.
Mm-hmm.
Not the jacket. I was showing my age. The young people out there are like, what the hell is he talking about?
Only jacket.
And on that note, let's go to our interview.
Your FBI, is that like your members-only jacket and you have your FBI shirt on underneath it?
Dude, okay. When I was in high school, I had a white members-only jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And a pigeon shit on my shoulder.
Completely fucked my shit up, dude.
So, yeah. Don't get a white members only jacket if you're going to get one. And if you do, maybe walk around with an umbrella. Yeah. But anyway,
I had the Billabong shirt and I didn't surf.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I had the denim jacket with a painting of Iron Maiden on the back that I'd never
listen to Iron Maiden.
No. That's fine. No, it's just a cool painting. Can we bring on Cal now? Should we bring on?
I think we should bring on Cal.
All right, we're going to bring on Cal. See you in a few minutes. All right, here we are with Calvin on, the great Calvin on.
Calvin. Oh, stop it. Thank you. Stop it. You're too nuts. Stop it.
Our training buddy.
Yeah.
You have a drink on the other side?
I do. Got my scotch right here.
Oh,
cheers.
Scotch.
I went hardcore, so.
You went off.
Cheers, buddy.
Yeah. In 10 minutes, if I'm babbling, it's not my fault.
Dude, so Cobra Kai, epic, epic, epic IP.
Yes, yes, it is. I love
it.
Yeah, and an amazing fight.
Yes.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Yeah, that was a fun day to shoot. Actually, it was a fun couple of days. So yeah,
Yeah. How many days was it?
2 days total. But flying down there, we had the prep day. So I got to do the pre-viz and the fight rehearsal. So, yeah.
So 2 days plus to travel, prep, pre-viz, yep. All that kind of stuff. Cool.
Yeah, man.
That's good. Cool, that's cool. A good paycheck.
Yeah. I will not complain.
We all grew up on Karate Kid, dude.
I mean, we did. I remember seeing Karate Kid 2 in the theater. Karate Kid 1 was a little young. I don't remember seeing that in the theater, but I did, apparently. But Karate Kid 2, I remember sitting in the theater and I remember just watching, you know, all the kissing scenes and being next to my mom and being really uncomfortable. I was like right around that age.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You shouldn't be kissing your mom in the theater, right?
Yeah. You got some weird thoughts at that age.
Oh, just in private like you?
Weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Just in private.
You said the quiet part out loud. So here.
Yeah, I did. So great IP, dude. Great IP. Great IP.
Yeah, yeah.
So we all grew up, except for you. You don't remember seeing it, Paul.
No, I remember seeing The Karate Kid. I just specifically remember being in the theater watching The Karate Kid Part 2.
Copy. So take us back, Cal. How did that start? And for the listeners and viewers, we'll have the link to the fight in the show notes. And we already said it in the intro, but Cal doubled Chosen in this pretty epic fight with Daniel. The episode is called Miyagi-Do. It's really cool. So watch the fight. You can pause the podcast right now. Go click watch the fight and then come back so you can understand what the heck we're talking about, right? So take us back, Cal. Like, when did you first get, who first reached out to you? How did this all happen?
Well, production first reached out, I think, back in the summer of 2019. And I just got a call from production just being like, hey, can you submit a selfie at your sizes and all that? And I was just like, okay, sure. Did that. I was actually in the middle of an acting class. I had my scene partner just take a picture of me real fast and sent it off. And then I got a call from production saying like, hey, we want to hire you for Cobra Kai. So come on down. I thought, okay, cool. I figured I was going to be playing like nondescript fight guy number 8 and just be like, all right, cool. Yeah, I get to go to Atlanta for the first time, which was awesome. And it wasn't until I actually got on the plane sitting in first class, also the first time, that I got the call sheet and it just says like, all right, my name. And it says Chosen Stunt Double. I was just like, oh. Okay.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how that happens? You'll get a gig and then you don't realize you're like doubling, you know, they'll just say, like, it's happened so many times. And then you get the call sheet like, oh, I'm doubling Henry Winkler? What? You didn't tell me that on the phone call, you know, like whatever. So that's awesome. So when you saw the call sheet and you're like, holy shit, I'm Chosen's double, what went through your head?
Well, first off, it was kind of like a refreshing kind of like, oh, hey, I'm going to get to meet Yuji Yakumoto again, because I got to work with him with a couple other stunt guys from New York about 2 years prior at another stunt project in California. So I figured like, yeah. Not liberty to say, because I don't think it ever really took off, but it was a fun project. Basically, the only thing I can say is that it involved samurai. It wasn't Shogun, but it's something cool. Involved samurai. So yeah, but it was good. That was actually, on a side note, that was actually my first time and only time at 8711. We actually rehearsed there.
Oh, sweet. Nice.
Yeah. So
I love training there.
Yeah. It's a great space.
Very cool. So, all right. So you get this, you get the thing and you're like, I'm available. I'm definitely doing this. And then what?
Fly down. Then first thing they do is pick me up at the airport and we just go straight to the trailers where they're rehearsing the fight scene that we're going to be shooting the next day. So got to meet a couple of the other local Atlanta stunt guys, said hellos and went through the choreo, which was about 15-20 beats, which wasn't that hard. So we rehearsed for about a half hour and I was like, okay, great, tomorrow we shoot. So it was just like, yay.
You had two nice falls in there though.
Yeah, that was I completely missed that part of the script when we were shooting. It was just like all of a sudden it's like, all right, we did the stick fight, we're gonna do all this other stuff, and at the last minute it was like, all right, he's gonna grab your leg, you're gonna do a barrel roll, and then you're gonna get slammed on the ground. I was just like, cool.
Yeah, so listen to this. This is the part you missed. And so for all the aspiring performers out there, read your sides so you know what's going on. But here it is, like Chosen. This is my favorite part of the fight, like this whole section of the fight right here. Chosen sweeps Daniel to the floor and in the same move pulls a Sai out and stabs it into the mat right next to Daniel's face. Daniel looks at the sharp Sai next to him, realizing he could have been killed. exterior. Then they cut to the exterior of the dojo. Daniel and Chosen continue sparring with no weapons. Then we go to Chosen goes to kick Daniel, but Daniel grabs Chosen's leg and twists it, sending Chosen, this is my favorite part, spinning and hitting the Pentagon hard. Daniel smiles, finally winning a spar. That, when Paul and I were just talking before we started, like when we saw that fight with you doing the leg spin, we're like,
I'm like, that's Calvin.
That's fucking Calvin.
If there's any fall that we've seen you do,
yeah,
hundreds, maybe even thousands of times, it's that one.
Yeah.
And there's just like, and it was so great because your face was so perfectly covered. Everything, it was just a perfect fall. And it was just like, oh, I was like, there was that brief moment of right before you hit the ground. I was like,
yeah. And to be honest, I didn't expect that kind of move in a Karate Kid.
No.
Yeah. Like, honestly, when we actually shot the scene, I was actually kind of surprised. I was like, does this seem fitting for the characters where they are at this stage in their career? But I was just like, all right, that's fine. I'm going to do it. So, yeah.
We were actually kind of talking about that, and we were talking about how the fighting in the Cobra Kai show was very contemporary, but they went back to the Miyagi Do style of fighting for that fight. But then Daniel did have that one contemporary move, but in a way it kind of made sense because he was the contemporary student, you know, when you think about it. So it was kind of cool that was the move that he caught him with, you know, in a weird way, I think it made sense.
No, it totally makes sense also, like in retrospect, because it's a desperation move. He's trying to like land a point on the guy. So grabs the leg. Yeah. And a little Hollywood flash. And yeah, it came out pretty well. And the cool thing was after doing it like three or four takes, the fourth take was the one that they put in the show. And it was kind of nice. I got a personal handshake from Mr. Ralph Macchio coming by the camera. It's like, dude, that looks so great. Thank you so much. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Did Macchio do that throw or did his double Mark?
No, Mark did the throw. Yeah.
Now what's Mark's full name? His last name is Mark.
Oh,
I couldn't pronounce it, dude. We have such a name pronunciation problem on this show.
We're the worst.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Kanda, we're sorry, Mark. It's Mark with a C.
Yeah.
But we love you, Mark.
Yeah, Kanemanzo or something. Yeah.
It's like in Italian.
A while. I haven't spoken to him since the shoot itself. But yeah, he's a great stunt guy. He did a lot of hard wrecks for that fight scene. So I give props to him.
Yeah, he got thrown with that big shoulder throw on the inside dojo. Mm-hmm. How many times did you get to throw him?
That was actually Yuji throwing
him
around on the ground. So yeah.
How much did he do?
He did pretty much. Ralph did about 75%. I think Mark did about the other 25%. That was like the more dangerous stuff. Like,
right.
There's that one scene in the fight on the octagon thing where Daniel gets knocked off by Chosen's bow staff. That was Mark doing the fall.
The fall off of the Pentagon or whatever it is.
I mean, my favorite was just the return of the nose honk.
Yeah. So good. Oh God!
So good.
I read that part in my trailer, and I just kind of laughed my ass off. I was like, "Oh my God, they're going!"
It must
back
have been pretty cool to
story.
Be a part of that. That was awesome.
That was way cool.
Yeah, it was just I was laughing my ass off. And when they're actually shooting it, I was just kind of going like, "I'm watching it live." So yeah.
It's funny how he's so related to Chosen. I remember him. The first time I remember seeing him was. He was in a lot of early and late 80s and early 90s comedy movies. He had a lot of extra parts in. He was in Real Genius. He had like a very short, quick speaking role. He was one of the students in the college dorms, but he was also the guy who was always challenging John Cusack to a race
in Better Off Dead.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know, he was a study and moppishness.
Yeah. Yeah,
dude, like, so cool.
His career was like, for an Asian actor guy, it was kind of cool just watching him grow up, like through the 80s and 90s, just seeing him evolve with each role. I remember the last thing I saw him in the 90s was an episode of, I don't know if you guys remember that TV show, Vanishing Son, with Russell Wong.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a modern day take on Kung Fu, the series.
Mm-hmm, right.
But there was an episode where he and Yuji squared up against each other and Yuji was still pretty jacked from that point. I was just like, damn, respect.
Cool. I mean, who did you let's go back even further. Like, did you always know you wanted to be a performer?
Yeah, actually, from the time I was in grade school and I saw my first Bruce Lee movie, and believe it or not, Karate Kid was the movie that actually got me interested more in studying karate formally. But, you know, time went on, schoolwork and baseball got in the way. Then I was also bullied a lot when I was a kid, so it took like the last day of getting bullied to make me realize, all right, I need to learn how to do this stuff for real. So
you could just use a baseball bat. No?
Yeah.
Well, Karate Kid,
not in the suburbia. No,
it was written by Robert Mark Kamen, and he based that on, you know, a bit of his life growing up. I had a small little interaction with him at my sister's graduation. My sister and his daughter were really good friends, so I sat next to him at graduation, and I had 3 hours of us not paying attention to the graduation, and we just nerded out. I raced mountain bikes at the time. He was really into bikes. We were both into karate, and we just went down the rabbit hole. He talked about The Professional because he was writing that, and at the time, they were doing Colombiana, which was supposed to be the sequel to The Professional, but it didn't work out. Natalie Portman didn't want to return, blah, 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 so they turned it into that.
Okay.
But he would always talk about how The Karate Kid was based off of his life.
That's awesome.
And that was like, yeah. And that a lot of those things did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah.
That is cool. So somebody pinched his nose and, yeah, right?
Write what you know, right? So yeah,
he got beat up by a bunch of guys in skeleton suits.
So when did you, was it just the classic Bruce Lee, or who did you look up to? Who did you aspire? Who inspired you, or who did you aspire to be like?
Honestly, it was Bruce. Like, my dad passed away when I was 13, so I didn't really have a positive male role model growing up in Pennsylvania suburbia. So I had the movies. So I was a big movie buff growing up, and Bruce was, you know, pretty popular still at that time. So I kind of went down the rabbit hole of Bruce Lee movies. So I was all about trying to get better at Taekwondo and working out, trying to get my life back on track.
Do you have a favorite Bruce Lee movie?
They're all great, but Enter the Dragon and Way of the Dragon are pretty much at the top of the list. Because Bruce goes up against Chuck.
It's such a great fight.
Yeah.
Are we going to go down that rabbit hole?
I don't know. I know.
We could, man. It's your podcast. We can do whatever we want. So
I think Chuck would, in a real fight, Chuck would win.
Cool.
There you go. I said it.
Now, yeah. I mean, the man's gone. But no, props to Chuck Norris, man. He's like, what, like 80 something years old, and he's still kicking. And I think I read somewhere he just got his black belt in jiu-jitsu. So, yeah.
I mean, I look at it this
way. He's still going hard.
I've seen Chuck Norris in the ring. Like,
yeah.
Like, a lot before, you know, I would agree that I think he has that.
He had the edge. But we'll never know.
No.
Nope.
We'll never know. Mm-hmm. But Gene LaBelle would beat both of them.
Yes, he would.
Hells yeah. Yeah.
He would squeeze the shit out of them.
Yes.
And throw the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
Dude, Gene LaBelle, legend. That's the one that's like, if I ask myself the question I just asked you, it would be like Gene LaBelle.
The nicest, meanest man alive.
That's why I aspire to be like that guy. Yeah.
I'm sad I never got to meet him.
I met him twice. I competed at he held a tournament in Toronto called the World Grapplers Challenge. It was in 1998. I went up and competed there. And after my first victory, I beat this guy with a neck crank, like a jaw lock. And he came up to me and he was like, great win, great win. I was like, oh my God, that's Gene LaBelle. Holy cow.
That's awesome.
That was cool. And I met Jeff Bladnick, rest in peace, also back then, Olympic wrestler, for those who know. He was up there, and Jeff was the original commentator at the old UFCs, but he was up there. Wow. 98 was a crazy year. It was like the blackout years for MMA. So the grappling started getting really popular because nobody was showing MMA anymore. So it was pretty cool.
And now UFC 300 is tonight.
Yeah.
Holy crap. They're at 300
Steve's
already.
Like,
yeah, I'm like,
could care less.
I have actually no idea who's on the card.
Neither do I.
I have no clue.
I did hear that Mark Coleman was going to give out the like belt or like whatever. You know, he was going to be there doing some kind of something.
Dude, I mean, good for him. That guy's been through, like, I follow him on Instagram, man. He's had a rough go the past couple of years, dude.
No, especially recently.
Hip stuff, his family, the fire. But, like, long before that, years before that, dude, he had problems with his hip. Like, every time I saw a video, he had tubes coming out of his arms. He was recovering from something, like, just some type of surgery. I mean, that guy was going through it the past couple of years. To see him come out on top is pretty awesome.
Wrestling destroys your body, and then MMA, when he was involved... Forget it. It was bare knuckle stuff. The early days of UFC, it was very unforgiving, you know, on people. Yeah, you know, for sure. Like people talk about how stunts beats up your body, but those guys, holy cow, they got destroyed.
They got destroyed. They were the pioneers though, so they set the standard.
Yep. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, so you're a Pennsylvania kid.
Yep.
And you're doing Taekwondo. And then what happens? You take an acting class, or like how does it go? Do you consider yourself more of an actor, stunt person, a stactor, as we say?
Stactor. Probably, honestly, at this point, yeah, I probably consider myself more as a stactor, just because I started off in acting, but I always had the martial arts background, and I had the stage combat background, which actually got me into the stunt business, and it gave me all the basics on how to, you know, fight for film and television and all that. So
So what happened? So what's the step that kind of, what was your first sort of moment in the business? Like high school theater, college theater, like
High school theater, believe it or not, I was actually a singer for a while too. So
wow. I can kind of believe that. You got a good voice, dude.
Thank you.
I would know. He's never sung to me.
Paul, you're so handsome. I can't get over
it. Okay, I take back what I just said about your voice.
I don't know what you're talking about. That got me going.
Hey, man. Back in the day, I was good. Let me tell you something. But, my old senior year choir director in high school, he liked my singing voice. He wanted me to audition for the school musical of Bye Bye Birdie. But at the time, I was just like, musical, acting, forget it. He cast me anyway without telling me. He was like, all right, show for rehearsal. I was like, okay. And from there, I got the acting bug and started acting in the musical. I was hooked right from the get-go. And then went to see a production of Crazy for You in New York City. And that really kind of solidified the whole acting track. I was like, I want to see myself doing this for a while. So went to college, studied sociology and acting. And then I came to New York after graduation from college and started acting almost immediately. So, yeah.
Dude, mad respect, because like I love going to theater. I mean, I'm not a fan of musical theater per se, but I love going to theater.
Oh, shame on you. Sorry.
But I am just out, like, cool. The fact that you have to, like, I stress out.
I mean, I don't know. I grew up going to Broadway and just seeing every show from the middle on, because I was in the city. So I would just walk down Broadway. They would go out for intermission, and then you walk back in and you just watch the second half of the show for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what I did.
I saw a lot of musical theater growing up. I went to Broadway a lot, but I just never got into the musical stuff. But what I find so impressive, I stress out over like a 4-line audition to do an entire play, to memorize that entire thing. One take, night after night. That's so impressive. And to bring it night after night and to be totally present night after night, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, dude, like, you competed a lot with Sambo and all that. Like, when you competed and you won, you got that, like, live reaction from the audience going like, yeah, great job. It's like the same thing when it comes to theater, doing it live. Like, you end the show, you get the applause. It's like, wow, I did that. People enjoyed it.
I did theater in high school a little bit. I was Thisbe in Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare. It was great. I got to dress in drag. I did a falsetto voice. It was hilarious. But the worst and the most nerve-wracking thing is when you flub your lines and you have to keep on going.
Yeah.
Like, there's no stop, there's no cut, there's no nothing. You flub your line, you have to smooth it out. You've got to keep going. If you reverse your lines, you can't, like, you just got to go. And that was different than kind of when you're acting, because they can usually just have you do it again.
Okay.
So you can work through the scene, you know what I mean? And then they'll yell cut and then be like, all right, let's run it again.
Yeah.
Have you done much on film in terms of your stunt career and more modern gigs? Have you done much on film, or has it been mostly digital? Because film is also, you have limited takes. You have to nail it. You know, you're a one and done-er. You know, and with digital, it's like sometimes they don't even stop rolling between takes. Like, I would hate to be the script supervisor or the editor who has to keep track of which take was the good one, because they don't cut because they're just rolling, 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 rolling.
Yeah. I'm more of the digital age fans, and because you can just keep going and you don't have to worry about like wasting film and whatnot if you don't get the take. But also, another side tangent, like acting and doing theater was great for doing that, because doing stage combat, I did a lot of Shakespeare and there's a lot of sword fighting in there. You mess up, you get whacked on the hand or the head, or you get, you know, hurt during the course of the fight, you have to keep going. Like, the show still goes on. So regardless of whether or not you, I had my thumb busted like 3 times doing like 3 different shows because a sword, the actor I'm fighting just kept swinging wildly. So I got injured, but you know, you keep going. And honestly, that kind of trait is carried over in the film, where it's just, you keep going until you hear the word cut, and then you can be like, okay, how'd that go? Did we get it? Cool.
Dude, that's cool. So, okay, so you moved to New York, and you were trying to be an actor. You hadn't thought about stunts yet?
I hadn't thought about stunts until probably my mid... I'm not going to give my age right out there right now.
You already said that.
Yeah. All right.
You're younger than us, bro. So
Calvin suddenly has a lisp.
Yeah. So anyway, I kept up with the stage combat stuff because that was good for theatrical purposes, performing like classical theater and Shakespeare. But I also became a commercial actor. I was doing a lot of print work, a lot of voiceover work, some commercials here and there. And then, as we all know, 2008, we had the writer's strike, and that basically shut everything down. And hence my acting career kind of flatlined from that point on. So everything went non-union, and I just joined the union right before the strike happened. So it kind of came a moot point.
That's like all the folks we know that just got into the union right before
the strike. Yeah.
Dude, that's been my career. And just been 2008 and joined the union. Things start getting going. Boom, writer's strike.
Or like during COVID, I had taken my hiatus. You know, because they were taking my COVID job, and I was like ready to jump back in the stunts, and I'm all ready to go. And I'm like, yes, it's like strike. And I was like,
yeah. So when did the leap happen to stunts? How did that happen?
Leap happened after doing personal training for so many years. I was still keeping up with the martial arts stuff, learning new styles. I was kind of hoping that I'd figure out some way in stunts, but I had no clear shot of how to get into it directly. I did a year of real estate, selling real estate and renting out apartments, where I realized I wanted to kill myself if I had to do another year of that. And then a mutual stunt friend of ours told me about Daredevil having auditions looking for Asian stunt actors. So I was just like, I could do that. I submitted my stuff, and there, rest is history.
Yeah, yeah. The Marvel New York years were a lot of people got their start.
Yeah.
At that time.
Those were the prime years, man. Yeah.
Including myself. Yeah.
And by the way, to our listeners and viewers on YouTube, Calvin is very special. I mean, not you are a special guy, but, you know, we love training with Calvin. But Calvin is in the logo of the podcast.
He is. It's not me. Yeah. It's not me, folks. That is Calvin.
Yes. Well, that logo is designed from a still from a practice fight that we did.
Yeah.
And that is Calvin laying on the ground saying, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Like in the logo. So you are forever tied to this podcast, Calvin.
Yeah,
totally. So you booked the work on Daredevil?
Mm-hmm. Booked the work on Daredevil, and then from there things started to snowball. Got to work on Luke Cage, Defenders. I got to do some pre-biz work for Jessica Jones. Never got on Punisher, but you know, still very grateful for those years on the Marvel Netflix shows.
Yeah, there's a lot of work in New York then.
Dude, yeah. And like the fight scenes were just so much fun. So intricate. Yeah.
And every episode there was fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's the point. That was great. That's like, and when it went away, the whole New York stunt community was like, what? What are we gonna do?
That happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it didn't you know, everybody was paranoid that it was going to go crazy and die out, but it didn't really die out.
Well, I mean, Daredevil's shooting now. It's back.
They just wrapped
the first half. I heard it was the first half that they wrapped. I think they still need to shoot the second half. I think they're still shooting that whole 20-something episodes, I thought.
Oh, it's 20 episodes?
I thought the original Born Again season was like 22 or 23 episodes.
Yeah, they're going to do like a full old school season.
So, and then I heard that they had wrapped, but I thought it was just the first half and they were still going to do the second half of the first season and they were just going to do it in two parts.
Oh, maybe. They wrapped something.
Who knows? Sure.
But they did, right? I mean, when they came back after the strike, they scrapped almost all of what they shot.
Almost eight episodes. Yeah. Everything. And it was supposed to be like a courtroom procedural, I heard.
Yeah.
And then I guess he just had the strike to just watch it. And he was like,
no. Yeah, they brought back Phil Cervera. They brought back people from the original show. They changed a lot. They brought back everybody.
The actors, everyone that they said they weren't bringing back for Born Again. They basically, it was almost like they heard the fans.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we need to do what they want.
Yeah.
And now they're basically making a season four.
Nice. Yeah, I remember hearing that originally in the scrap part that they just got rid of, that they actually killed off a couple of the original characters like off screen. So it's just like, oh, wait, so we didn't actually get to see what happens. Like, no, it's all exposition. They died off screen. Don't worry about it. It's just like,
oh, wow.
It's lazy. That's not cool. Yeah, that's not cool at all.
Well, so, okay, so you do all that and Marvel leaves and then... I'm trying to, you know, it's funny because we talked about it before. Like, we've known you almost since we started training. So we started Breakfall. We started in this business, but we haven't been on set. Have I been on set with you anywhere?
No, I've never been on set with you guys.
No, hey, I don't think so.
Not yet.
I was only on set with Jared only like 2 years ago. That's after like a decade in the business together. So
yeah. And he's referring to Jared DeCrosse. How do you pronounce his last name? Is it DeCrosse?
Yeah, it's DeCrosse.
DeCrosse?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You're kind of like, yeah, fuck it. That sounds right.
That's what he said. So I'm going by what he said.
I only worked with him for the first time, like on Blacklist a couple, like 2 years ago, too. Yeah. What I was going to say is we've known you for so long, but so I don't know what you're up to because I don't see you on set very often. So, like, what are you up to right now?
Just came back from a trip, too.
Just got back from Korea. Thank you for asking. And nice, man. That was hella fun. More fun than I was anticipating because I went there over 2 decades ago and it's changed so much. This was also pre-internet, so it wasn't as modern as it is now. But yeah, had a blast. If you guys ever get a chance, I highly recommend going over there. The food, you will not regret it. All the seafood there, it's super, super fresh. You know, brine and that fishy smell you get at the fish market, they don't have that there. So everything goes from ocean, the plate, to your mouth, which is pretty dope.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So how many calls for work did you get while you were gone?
believe it or not, I got very lucky this time around. It was just like each day I woke up, it was like, check my phone. It's like, please no calls, please. Okay, yay.
But yeah, for those listening that are not in the business, there's this sort of like thing that happens like as soon as you book a trip or a vacation or something, like
you get a call for work.
You get a call for work and you're like, what?
Actually, I'm lying. I take that back. I actually did get an availability check for work. It would happen about 4 days after I got back. I figured, okay, that'll give me enough time to get over the jet lag. It wasn't enough time to get over the jet lag.
Oh no. Yeah, because I saw on your socials that you were posting some skyline pictures of a nice place to work. I was like, oh, he's back and working again.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I booked a day of work a few days after I got back. And I just got the call to work on another show for next week. So, fingers crossed, things are starting to pick up, knock on wood, and things are going well. I'm asking, how about you guys? How are you guys doing? Getting calls?
Good. I got an availability check for that shall not be named, as I always, so hopefully that works out.
Yeah. No, I submitted an audition and I got a availability check for something for next week. So, I don't know. We'll see. You know how it goes. I'm not sure. If you haven't heard in a couple of days from the self-tape, it's probably like no news is bad news, but you know what they say, at least you're on somebody's radar. So that's
exactly.
Yeah. Paul worked on another show that we can't quite say yet. Although, who knows? Maybe by the time this airs, it'll be wrapped.
I don't know if I can't. I mean, I can say it. They're filming season two of The Night Agent, so I got a call from for that
oh,
show.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, I really can't talk about what I did on it. But yeah, so that was cool. So in season two, in one of the episodes, I'll be doing something.
That's awesome.
Nothing crazy, but you know,
yeah. When
you know, after the episode airs, I'll be like, well, that was me.
Yeah. Have you guys started watching Fallout at all?
I have not. I've wanted all 8 episodes out?
I think only the first 2 or 3 are out.
I'm probably gonna wait. I feel like it's kind of because it's kind of like Halo. I wait until they're all out, and I just marathon it.
I binge it.
Some of those shows, there's something about the week to week that I just can't. I need to marathon them.
Right. You don't like
You've been corrupted.
I have. I've been corrupted. No, but like Shogun, I watch every week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too good.
You know, Shogun, I watch every week, but some of those shows, I'm like, I need. It's almost kind of like they give you this weird fix, and I need more than like 45 minutes of it. I need a full 6-hour fix of those shows.
I do want to see it. I mean, for those listening, that was shot over here. Fallout was shot over here at Steiner Studios in. That's about, wouldn't you say, it's probably the closest thing to like a big Hollywood studio that we have around here.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the amount of sound stages. And I mean, it's the only place around here that you could use golf carts to get around. You know what
right.
I mean? It's a massive, I think, was there like 50 or 60 sound stages?
Silver Cup's pretty big.
Silver Cup's big, but
not that big.
But Steiner is massive.
It's lots. It's lots and lots and lots.
And they took over, Fallout took over most of that place, is from what I understand. Yeah. Who Jason Mello was the fight coordinator for that,
yep.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yep. I'm looking to see it because there's a ton of New York performers on there.
Yep. Yeah. I just saw Alec,
Hannah Scott, and Anthony Mecca, Jason Mello. You know, they're all on there.
Alec Kossoff is in there. I just saw him take a fall. He fell on his face. It was great.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So I do want to see it because anytime there's something that, you know, our buds are on it, we want to watch it. Help boost up their residuals, of course.
Well, every once in a while, it's nice that, you know, like when you're watching a DC movie, or I was watching Black Adam, and I saw, I think it was Vic the Kick. I saw him dropped out of a plane, and I texted him. I'm like, did I just see you get dropped out of a plane in Black Adam? And he's like, yep.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Funny side tangent. The Rock has visited my gym that I train at Midtown like twice now, and I've missed him twice. I'm just like, damn it.
Oh, but, really?
That's because you skip leg day.
I always skip leg day. Leg day is stupid.
Well, the Rock is going to be playing Mark Kerr in the film adaptation of Smashing Machine.
Oh,
Mark Kerr was big, but he wasn't that big.
I don't know if he's going to play the old Mark Kerr, he can't play the young Mark Kerr. That's
he
sure.
can,
but like, maybe Mark. I don't Kerr know how they're going to tell it.
Twice his size.
Maybe they're going to tell it like a lot of time jumps.
But the Smashing Machine.
For anybody who hasn't seen it, it's an
amazing documentary
about Mark Kerr, a wrestler, and his fight career, and struggles with drugs, and all the and basically the toughness of that life, you know, of early MMA days. And
Pat Miletich days.
Yes, the early days. Boss Rude. There's a great scene in there with. Oh my God, Boss Rutan is coaching. I don't want to spoil it too much, but Boss is the best. Boss is actually Boss and Quadros and Pride. That's why we drink beers here. It's an homage to them. Everybody should go watch The Smashing Machine. It's an amazing documentary. Eddie Goldman, the noted journalist, is the narrator. And it's really freaking good. So they're making a movie out of it. It's past development. I would say it's in pre-production. According to Stunt Contact, I think, but really good. And so, anyway, The Rock is playing Mark Kerr.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'd watch that.
Oh heck yeah!
Yeah,
heck yeah! Actually,
I do wonder how they're going to do it because The Rock has got some age on him.
Well, I was thinking they're going to have to tell it from the perspective of. The aged Mark Kerr, and this was my career kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Lenny Hart, you know, for those who don't know, Lenny Hart is the Pride announcer. And she was insane. Like, anybody who watched Pride in the old days knows that her voice, right? Mm-hmm. I'm friends with her on Facebook. And she lives in Tokyo. And she hit me up the other day. She goes, they're doing cattle call auditions for the announcer. She's like, do you know anybody? Because I'm not doing, I'm like the actual announcer. I was like, I got the contact information for casting director. I said, here, write to this person. Tell them you want to be in on this. Like, how could you not have the actual, her voice is so unique. You have to have her.
Yeah.
You have to have her.
Nice.
Yeah. She's really sweet. She's a sweetheart. How's your drink doing over there?
Well, I'm pretty sure you can tell, like, within the last 5-10 minutes how red I gotten. So
yeah, you look very rosy.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this,
like, I'm due for a
refill. Yeah, I'm doing good,
for
man.
A top off.
Yeah. So
nice and relaxed at this point. So
I got to bust your balls, Calvin.
Go for it. Sure.
You need to update your fucking reel, dude.
Yeah,
bro. What the fuck,
there's
man?
So much good shit you've done,
like this Chosen fight.
All right, the Chosen fight is good, but like honestly, I've been going through. I've been tallying up all the stuff I shot.
Are you being hard on yourself?
Real.
You're being hard on yourself, buddy. Myself.
Fuck. Most of the stuff. I'm not saying I'm ungrateful, but just most of the stuff. I kind of feel like, it's kind of like NDA stunt stuff. It's like it's cool. Like I'm appreciative for the work, but I'm just like, it's nothing like compared to like what I already put out in 2019. Like 2019, those were the Marvel years. I had a lot of fight stuff. There was Gotham. I had a lot of fight stuff.
There's great stuff in your reel, and everybody will link it. We'll have some clips in here. Yeah. But I was like, there's no, the Chosen fight is not in there.
Yeah. I know.
I mean,
you
had two big falls in it.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty, you know, the show is so big now. I mean, considering, what was it, YouTube Red? That it fucking started on?
Dude, let me just say, like, okay.
Like, what
Cobra Kai was, like, the bait and switch that got me to subscribe to YouTube Red.
Yeah.
So the first season was on YouTube Red, and I fell for it. Oh, you know, get the first year for whatever, and then we'll just automatically renew if you don't cancel. And, of course, I never canceled. Mm-hmm. And then YouTube Red basically died, right? So they don't do original content anymore.
The original content wasn't that bad. Aside from Cobra Kai, there was some stuff out there that was
good stuff. Yeah. So I guess now they have like, I mean, I got YouTube Music because of that. I still have the premium subscription all these years later, but it's like, I don't know. They got YouTube TV. When I'm going through my apps, it's like, wait a minute, why do I want YouTube TV? I already have YouTube Premium. Like, what's the difference? What is the difference? Can you tell me?
I know
neither of you.
They're just trying to get more money out of you. So they keep adding more stuff that you don't necessarily need.
So much streaming, so many different places.
But the point is, back to the original thing, it's like, dude, let's get you real updated, man.
I would like to, man. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like looking through the footage of stuff that
don't
I shot
be so
last
hard
year.
On yourself, Cal. You have
I'll
great
be
shit.
Very
but
hard on
no,
myself.
No, no, no. Listen,
man.
You just even just add like take out a little piece, put in a little new piece. Like it's a work in progress. So for those listening that don't know what we're talking about, a reel is like sort of like when a stunt coordinator contacts you.
Video resume.
Yeah, it's like a video resume. It shouldn't be much longer than a minute or so. And it just is a highlight of stuff that you've done, right? Like stunts that you've done, fights you've been in, stuff like that. And it's like this constantly evolving thing, right? Like as you go into your career. And the irony with the reels are what? By the time you're a known person and you have enough cool stuff to put in your reel, you kind of don't need the reel anymore.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I agree. You're not wrong. And honestly, like things were going great in 2019. And then 2019 was probably my best stunt year because after Cobra Kai, I ended up going back to Atlanta that same year, like a month later for Lovecraft Country. That was a fun shoot.
Oh, that's cool. What'd you do on that, man? I enjoyed that show.
Yeah. It was the very first episode. I think it was the sequence when you see like all the battle scenes happening, like with all the monsters.
Oh, right.
And whatnot.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a war scene. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It was a war scene. It's a bunch of us. They actually brought a bunch of us Asian stunt guys from New York down to Atlanta, and we all just kind of bonded and, you know, worked on set together. It was a great time. And yeah, that was just like, yay, 2019, best year. And then 2020, we know what happened then.
Yes.
The COVID.
Yes. We can say that.
And then it's been a slow go ever since then. It was the basically everything was about to get ready to go back and rolling in full swing. And then the strike happened.
Yep.
And then once the strike unhappened, now everyone's worried about the other strike that may happen.
Yeah.
So everyone is like, everyone's toes are ready to go and they're all sitting at the edge of the pool, but no one's jumping in until these negotiations are said and done. I have heard a couple of rumors that that things seem to be up and up.
Some of the IATSE locals are reaching tentative.
I've heard that 10 of 13 have basically reached preemptive agreements.
I think it's the Teamsters. The big decision.
10 of 13, you know. So hopefully it'll pass at the stroke of midnight,
But if it doesn't, I got their back. They had our back.
Of course, dude.
Big time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Very sure.
Yeah. But I'm being...
They work hard. Everybody deserves it. You know, everybody deserves a little bit more. And they work hard. It wouldn't happen without them.
Yep.
Like, period.
Yeah. We don't have shows without them. So,
no.
Absolutely.
That's it, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Stop busting my balls about my reel. I know. Okay. See updated. I'm working on it. I just got to find, like, the right footage so it doesn't turn out to be just, like, a 30-second reel of, like, hey, here's all the stuff that I've done since 2019. And it's, in my opinion, not as impressive as what I had posted out.
It's not like the 2019 reel is bad. It's a good reel, dude.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, you take out 10 seconds of something and stick in Cobra Kai, it's like you don't have to change much of it. Just a little bit.
I don't like the idea of just like repeating footage when people have already seen it. Like, oh, okay, he's putting this old footage in. You put the new stuff
up front, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You talk me into it. I'll see what I can do over the next
That's
month
it.
Or so.
When you come back on the show, you know what we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're going to be like, Cal, how come you didn't do the new reel yet?
I've been busy, you guys. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We're going to bring you on for like an update show with all of our guests at the end. At the end, we're going to have like an episode 27. We'll sit in a room with all of our guests on.
Well, we can't give too many details about it because it's still in the works, but we are working on a live show episode.
Oh, sweet. Nice.
So we'll tell you more.
Very cool.
Comes to fruition, but then we'll bring a couple of the guests on, do a live show.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Sounds cool.
When are you coming back to train?
I would like to come back. I told you, like, I busted my LCL up. It's about 98%.
Oh, that's right.
Healed up, like, and it's weird because I heard the snap, like, it was a very clear, distinctive snapping of the LCL, but the pain was very minimal. It wasn't until like the next couple of days that it really swelled up and the pain was starting to go back down. But
yeah.
I've been rehabbing it. It seems about, like I said, 98% better.
Cool.
If not next week, then the week after, I would like to get back into training. So yeah, man.
I told you when you told me I tore my LCL and it was not a complete tear. It was like a 50% tear, but even the orthopedist was like, listen, this doesn't need surgery, like, but you have to rehab it. It's external to the joint, right? So there's blood flow. It will heal, but be cool with it. Treat it with love and respect. You know,
I blew my whole shit apart.
God, that sucks, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're just about at the other end of that, Cal.
Yeah, man. Because I'm looking forward to getting back into it, man. Like, I keep feeling like every time I come back, something else pops up. I either get sick or work happens or something. So
Man. So, dude, how can people follow you, reach you, see your old reel? Where?
Well, if you're really that interested, let me tell you.
How can people follow you, dude?
You can find me on the social media things, like the Facebook and the Instagram. You can find me at Instagram on Calvinon Stunts, one word, or you can just find me on Facebook at e.calvinon if I learn more about what I'm doing with my life and whatnot.
Cool. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. What's the East? What does the E stand for?
E stands for my Korean name, which is also my legal first name.
Oh, do you want to share or no? Can you share?
I can tell you, but then I have to keep.
Oh, I don't. I can't. I don't want to fight Chosen right now.
I'm just kidding. No. Korean name is Unsu. Like, okay. How if you want to sue someone, but then you change your mind, you unsu them.
Unsu.
Old college buddy coined that phrase. I've been using it ever since. Like, who can't
it works.
What it is. Yeah,
it works. It does.
Yeah.
Spelled, it's very phonetically appropriate.
Yeah.
It's such a dad joke. It's great.
I know. You're welcome. Enjoy.
Yeah. Cool. So everybody, you got to follow Cal. Check him out on IMDb. See all the amazing stuff he's been in. We'll put up some links to his cool stuff. We've been training with Cal for like years.
Yeah, man.
Since the very beginning, man.
Yeah.
We got to start posting more like stuff. Let's get together, start shooting like more stuff that we can like.
As long as it don't look like shit.
Yeah.
As long as it don't look like shit. But I mean, we do have that that one fight that we wanted to shoot, and then it got interrupted by snow, like this winter snow, and all this, the weather and stuff. So we need to get back to that.
Dude, I'm still down. Let's make it happen. Like, the weather's getting nicer now. So.
Yeah. There's everybody's putting up fights, but they all look the same to me, honestly.
Yes.
And
they all kind of look the same.
Well,
there's a lot of great technical stuff going on, like a lot of technicians, like putting up, like people that are way more acrobatic and athletic
cool.
than me. It's very cool, but it all looks like this homogenized stuff.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's shooting with now, like especially after Roadhouse, everybody's shooting with their ultra wide lens and lots of rapid camera movement, and you know, it's like I would say, I don't know, vast majority of the fights people are putting up, the practice fights, don't have any like feeling or sense of a story.
It's just like, oh yeah. I've got this move down.
Yeah.
I want to show it to everybody.
Yeah, it's like an arms race.
Let's put three beats before it, and so I can finish with it, and then I'm going to put it up.
Like, you don't know a lot of these practice fights that people are putting up. It's like you don't know who's winning or losing until it's over, and then suddenly somebody lost. You know, it's like, I would love to see more damage, more like reactions, stuff like that.
Just a little more into the story instead of just a fight.
Yeah.
I was just curious. You guys are watching like any type of new cinema at all that has like fight stuff? I've been watching a lot of Korean cinema now.
We just saw Monkey Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you liked it?
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. Monkey Man was great. I feel like it's lazy to compare it to like John Wick, like a lot of the reviewers are doing.
Oh, and I also want to see what's with Skarsgård, Boy Makes War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's coming out. That looks really
Boy
good.
Boy Kills World, I think.
Boy Kills World. Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
Monkey Man's great. We have already talked. We have a tentative date to have Brahim Chaab on the show.
Oh,
he's a
sweet
fight coordinator for Monkey Man. For those who don't know,
dude, that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, we also mentioned him in the Joshua Todd James episode because he was in Pound of Flesh. He was like a,
he was so underutilized.
Oh, in Pound of Flesh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're so underutilized.
Yeah, everybody go back. There's some really cool Pound of Flesh stories that we talked about with Josh, and go listen to that episode. It's cool.
Do you have any? Do you have any old Korean cinema that you like? I mean, I know Steve and I go back and forth on this.
Well,
shit
we time. David oh. will know.
Shut up, Steve.
Hey, out there, I know if you're listening, David, we're going to invite you on the show,
Wait.
Because we know you go back and forth to Korea a lot. And you're kind of like my Korean cinema guy, so I'm gonna be calling you, David.
Yeah. Last thing I saw was one of my favorite Korean films is The Man from Nowhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good one. I've been watching a lot of the, actor Ma Dong-suk? He's known as Don Lee. He was the big Asian guy in Eternals. He's also the big Korean guy in Train to Busan.
I just was telling Steve about, what was the movie?
Isn't he in, he's in a show right now, isn't he?
No, he literally did the movie where they, like, kidnapped his wife and he just goes around fucking one-punching everybody.
Yeah.
And he just knocks the shit out of dudes, it's such a great movie.
He's so freaking massive. Like,
I forget what
like,
it's called, but I was like telling Steve, I was like, he's got two of them out, and the guy just literally just one punch everybody.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of his stuff. I think the last thing I saw was like The Roundup, No Way Out.
The Roundup.
Like,
that's what it is. The Roundup.
Yeah,
that's
Yeah. Yeah. He also has another great gangster flick called The Gangster, The Cop, and The Devil or something. That's a great movie. You can check it out. But yeah, like just the way they're shooting some of the Korean cinema now, it's like it's not as. I want to say like close to like Hong Kong style. It's more like gritty and more kind of like, I want to say like realistic, but not No disrespect to like.
No. I was like,
bring it up. Like City of Violence. Yeah.
City of Violence.
City of Violence. Exactly. Yeah. That's another one.
I always tell people, like, have you seen City of Violence? And they're like, no. I'm like, it's like if you took a martial arts movie and combined it with like the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you had like, it was, it's just like such an amazing.
That scene in the mall.
Yeah.
When they were taken on, when all the gangs just kept on coming out of the woodwork and they had the break dancers. The BMX kids.
Yes.
The kids on the rollerblades. Holy shit.
If you want to see amazing a gang of B-boys fighting like real badass.
That was awesome. And they were like doing the splits and like jump. That was awesome.
Yeah. Fire in the wind.
The concept of the movie was just a great idea. You had like a bunch of Korean stunt guys who were like, all right, we're getting older. Let's go out with one big movie, Blaze of Glory. And that
they were all the guys that did Fighter in the Wind.
Fighter in the Wind. A lot of the same people.
All the guys that did Fighter in the Wind were in that movie.
Yeah. Still one of my favorite movies ever, Fighter in the Wind.
But how awesome was the was that?
You've never seen Fighter in the Wind?
I have not. You got to check it out. Oh, yeah.
It's the story of
everybody in it.
Masayama. Yeah, it's the story of Masayama. You know, for those listening, he founded Kyokushin Karate. So this is sort of like, and he was Korean, even though most people think of Kyokushin as Japanese. He was Korean. Oh my God, the fight scenes in Fighter in the Wind are insane, dude.
Cool. I'll have to check that
out. So good.
Thanks for the recommendation. We'll check it out.
But that last scene in City of Violence when they're in the restaurant, and then all the doors open when he goes to challenge the main bad guy, and then the doors, and it's like 20 guys, all their wives get up and walk out. Yep. So good.
Yep. And there's definitely like an old boy homage in Monkey Man. There's a big old boy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, nice. For sure.
Old boy, another classic. So, yep.
There are a few homages in Monkey Man.
Oh, totally.
There's a lot of shout outs in that movie.
The Ong Bak homage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There's big time Ong Bak. And then the scene where he's just, this isn't much of a spoiler, where he's just doing leg kicks for the whole fight, chopping the guy down. That completely reminded me of like UFC 7 when, Marco Huas was fighting Paul Varlins, and for the whole fight, all he did was chop out his legs until he couldn't stand up anymore. I was like, I was sitting there saying, like, I'm watching UFC 7 again. It was so good.
I just read an article just saying, like, yeah, Dev Patel, like, is a dedicated, like, TKD practitioner. Like, he trains nonstop. Even when he was doing, like, Slumdog Millionaire, he was, like, training whenever he could. It was just like, that's pretty cool.
He did a good job of actually making himself look not like he knew how to fight, like he was just kind of wild, throwing punches and very angry, and then really, really tuned it in to the second half of Monkey Man, not giving too much away because it is still out in theaters.
And he broke his hand, like a lot of, like the very first fight scene, he broke his hand. And so he had, I hear these interviews with him and Brahim and stuff, and then I hear like, oh, he broke his hand. He also broke his foot at one point in making this movie.
It took 3 years to make this movie.
Because they started before COVID. Then they had to find a bubble, you know, they had to do the whole COVID bubble. Yeah.
And then they lost the original stunt team.
And they lost a lot of money. And like, it was just like, oh my God. There's a podcast called Talk Easy. Here's an unpaid endorsement, but like a Talk Easy podcast. Great interview podcast. Has Dev Patel on it. You should definitely listen to it. It's really, really, really. And he talks about when he started Taekwondo as a kid.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Inspired by Bruce Lee again.
Bruce inspired a lot of people though. So yeah.
Dude, my wife just thinks of him as the guy from Skins though. a lot of people do. That's where people first knew of him, was it, you know, on Skins.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. I watched the remake of Green Hornet with Seth Rogen and I don't know who I
forget. Jay Chou.
He was the best part of the movie.
Jay Chou, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the movie was, well, of course, and Christoph Waltz is the bad guy, but it's weird that I guess it did it in a bad way, and it meant all it made me want to do was just watch the original Green Hornet and watch Bruce Lee. and I don't know, and it wasn't because I really liked the movie. It was just because I'm like, he did a good job of making me want to see Bruce Lee.
Right.
Like, he did a really good job of, but the movie as a whole, not so great.
What were you gonna say, Cal?
Oh, they're like, I remember like years ago, there some European stunt guys, I think, came out with a Green Hornet short that was actually pretty dope. I think the guy playing Green Hornet had like an Arnaz background, and their fight choreo was pretty top notch, what I remember. If you can find it on YouTube or somewhere.
A fan film done by stunt guys, basically?
Yeah, fan film done by stunt guys. It was a short, but it was pretty dope. Like, the choreo was pretty top notch.
Okay, listeners, you have a mission.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't remember who the guys were. I can't remember who the guys were.
Find this and send us a link.
Do you remember the Mortal Kombat fan films that almost got a movie with Michael Jai White? And those were really good. They were he did a bunch of like four or five like 10-minute shorts,
mm-hmm.
and they looked like the budget on them, everything looked amazing on them, and he almost got a movie. I don't know what happened, but those were some amazing shorts.
Mike Pecci, who is a director, he has his own podcast called In Love with the Process. He did a Punisher fan film that was out for a very short while. Some people might remember it.
When the dryer?
I don't. Yeah, I never saw it.
And the laundry machine?
Because he got a cease and desist.
With Tom Marvel. Fane?
Yeah, he got it. Yes. He got a cease and desist from.
That was really good.
From Marvel. Yeah. And so nobody can see it anymore.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny you mentioned the Mortal Kombat shorts. I remember, I think Matt Mullins played Johnny Cage in one of those shorts. And
Matt Mullins was also the fight coordinator for Defenders, right?
Exactly.
Yep. Yes.
He was, and wasn't he assistant coordinator on Punisher 1, and then
he also did Punisher in season. He had the fight in Falcon Rising with Michael Jai White, right? He was the final guy in Falcon Rising, I think, and he had a great fight with Michael Jai White.
Yeah, and I think was there also, was that the same film where Ico Uwais, the guy from The Raid? Oh, no, I'm thinking about Mayor Fitachi. Never mind.
No, you know what I'm talking about? They did Triple Threat. They were all in together. Michael Jai White.
Right.
Scott Adkins, Tony Jaa, every movie we've been talking about. They were all those guys. They were all in Triple Threat.
Yeah, it was kind of like in Expendables.
And it was like 3-on-3. They weren't all together.
Yeah.
So some of them were good and some of them were bad. I'm not going to give it away, but if you want to see it, see it. And they all fucking kill each other. It's great.
Nice.
Cool. So, Cal, it was awesome to chat with you. This hour flew by.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for having me.
It was like when you come here and train.
Yeah.
That's the problem when we all train together, half the time we just...
The last 45 minutes. Just talk. Just sitting on the mat doing that.
Yeah. Totally. Cool. Man, no, I look forward to getting back in there because I want to get my grappling game down further. It's already been a year since I joined. And
well, right like when I came and I started... And I started getting my tornado kicks around. You got hurt, Dick.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, so now I got to start from scratch.
Cool. Thank you so much, Cal.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, cool. Everybody check out Cal's links in the show notes.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Take care. Love you guys.
Later, man.
Fights with Friends is brought to you by Breakfall Studios and Press Record Studios. Executive producers, Stephen Kepfer, Paul Verace, and Tiago Benedetti. Produced by Matthew Kaplowitz. Associate producers Becca GT and Jared DeCrosse. Our video editor is Matthew Kaplowitz. Original music by Aru Luster.